This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, you're listening to Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. The eruption of a volcano in Iceland in April 2010 shut down European airspace for commercial air traffic to the tune of nearly $2 billion in lost revenue for the airlines. But was it all necessary? We're speaking today with Tom Grindle. He's currently head of maintenance at NASA Dryden. He's a man with some personal experience on the subject and has co-authored a paper on the topic. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Glenn.
Now, your direct experience isn't with the current eruption, but with one that happened also in Iceland back in 2000. Take us back there. What happened?
We currently have a DC-8 that we do a lot of airborne research with, and it's been modified for a scientist to carry a lot of atmospheric equipment or other type equipment for everything from ozone measurement to atmospheric gas testing. And we were scheduled to go to Kiruna, Sweden on February of 2000 to measure some of the ozone replenishment up in that area. Right before we left, the Hekla volcano in Iceland had erupted. And so as our crew was flying the DC-8 to Sweden, they were getting real-time data from the London Volcanic Ash Advisory Center, notifying them where the cloud was and so that we could avoid it. Approximately 5 o'clock in the morning, Greenwich Mean Time, the scientists were on board, came up to the cockpit crew and said, "Hey, thanks for flying through the ash cloud. We're able to get some good data," which was a complete surprise to the flight crew because they had purposely redirected their route to be about 200 miles north of the latest predicted cloud location. And the scientists were able to find that information out on their data by looking at particulate measurements and gaseous content. The air crew had no indication whatsoever that they were in the cloud. There was no smell, there was no St. Elmo's fire, there was no occlusion of the stars or things like that. They felt that they were perfectly fine. The engine instruments indicated everything was normal. And for about the next 7 minutes, the scientists gathered data on a diffuse ash cloud from the Hekla volcano. A couple minutes later, the scientists said, "We are out of the cloud." Pilots, again, still no indication that anything had changed, and continued on to Sweden. Once we landed at Sweden, go ahead, Glenn.
I was just going to clarify, this was a day or a night flight?
It was night flight. Like I said, it was 0500 in the morning, Greenwich Mean Time.
The pilots on their own, they had no idea the ash was there, and that's because they were working, as you said, from real-time data. So I guess what I'm asking is, why didn't they know that the cloud was there, and what resources are available to pilots en route to identify areas of volcanic ash, pilots who are not flying for NASA?
Well, there's two weather satellite systems that I believe are up that can give data to a lot of the ash advisory centers to let them know current locations on a lot of the clouds. They usually orbit about every 15 to 60 minutes and try to get as much data as possible. But one of the problems we ran into ours was because it was an Icelandic volcano, some of the ash was encapsulated in ice, and it showed up as vapor clouds instead of a lot of ash clouds. And so that's why it wasn't as clear. It wasn't until after we had landed and looked at some other satellite data that we could see that it looked that our flight path did take us right through one of the ash cloud areas.
Okay, well, let's get back to the story. I interrupted the DC-8. It's a four-engine jet.
Yes.
So you mentioned there were no effects at all. The pilots didn't notice anything that would indicate to them that the aircraft was suffering any damage at the time.
No, there was none whatsoever. Like I said, all the flight conditions were normal. There was no engine parameter changes, anything. Everything was fine. In fact, once we got to Sweden, we did a complete visual inspection of the aircraft, and none of the leading edge surfaces were abraded. The cockpit windows were all fine. The fan blades, everything we could look at on the ground was perfectly normal. When they talked to us back at Edwards here about what had happened, we had recommended that they replace the air conditioning filters as well as all the oil and all the engines and to hold those samples for when they returned. But now, there was no indications, Glenn, of any issues whatsoever.
And how long did you determine the aircraft was actually in the ash cloud?
It was only about 7 or 8 minutes of actual flight time.
After it was on the ground, you had the oil change done, the aircraft was good to go?
Yes, there was no indications whatsoever. We determined that since we had no performance degradation or anything, that once the airplane would return to Edwards, we would do a complete borescope on the engines because we didn't have the equipment available to us there. And during the flights that were occurring at Sweden, the crew was to monitor all the engine parameters and make sure that everything was still within the nominal requirements.
And those all went well? Everything looked good?
Everything was perfectly fine. We flew for approximately about another 60 hours in Sweden and then returned home back to Edwards, where we performed a borescope inspection on all four engines.
So what happened there?
We, because of a previous Sandy runway incident we had borescoped the airplane before it had left for Sweden. So we had a good baseline of what the engine looked like before it had gone over. And once it returned back, we did another borescope, and we found a lot of the hot sections of the engine had plugged cooling holes. The coating on a lot of the leading edges was abraded, and there was a general, I want to say, just degradation of a lot of the hot section components. So we pulled one engine off wing to send it back to a manufacturer for a rebuild. And once they tore the engine down, they discovered a lot of white powder. They discovered a lot of passages that were plugged. And you could see it was a coating that was building up on the inside of the cooling areas of a lot of the turbine sections, which then made us pull the other three engines as well and send those off for repair too.
Now, the pilots hadn't noticed any degradation in performance, but the vendors sort of had a different story about what they might expect, right?
Right. They expected that we had decreased the life substantially on a lot of the engines and that we would start to see performance degradation in probably in as little as 100 flight hours because of the fact that the blades were no longer being cooled by the fan air and they'd start to overheat and start to erode on the leading edges and trailing edges.
Would that lead to any failures?
No, you'd start noticing it as higher EGT, EPIR degradation. Your performance would basically start degrading more and more, and a lot of your life-limited components would just not be able to reach their full life expectancy because of the fact they've lost that cooling air capability.
And as far as your NASA DC-8 goes, what was the repair bill cost?
It was slightly over $3 million to do the repair on all four engines.
At this time, a decade later, are you aware of any service, product, or protocol that could help guide pilots better around the ash?
No, there's currently not much has changed since we flew through the ash clouds back then. Being able to predict where it is still a lot of it is relied on pilots who have seen it or flown through. In fact, once we had flown through ours from the Hekla volcano, we were able to call the London Center and let them know that the cloud had moved much farther north than they had predicted, and they were able to update their data so that they could send that out to the other pilots in the area and let them know as well.
That's good stuff, Tom. Thanks for sharing.
No problem, Glenn.
We've been speaking with Tom Grindle, who was a propulsion engineer for NASA back in 2000, is currently Aircraft Maintenance Division Chief at NASA Dryden. We have his white paper available online. Go to avweb.com and search for Volcanic Ash and Counterflight. This is Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.